Okay, ladies, we are looking at chapter 35 of Tanya, and that means page 157-158 at the bottom of the page, and the Hebrew pagination is Mem Dalet, first Mem Dalet Omad Aleph. Now, what this chapter has begun by discussing the whole idea of where does one actually, what does one achieve in the course of one's life spiritually, given that for most of us we don't actually transform ourselves so that we are rid of negativity. We've always got a struggle with negative thoughts, and sometimes more than thoughts, all the way through our life. And the author is suggesting, hello, good evening. And the author is suggesting, isn't this rather depressing, that although a person goes through life and makes the effort to improve, in fact, we always face a struggle. Yeah. We always face a struggle. It's always part of our possibility that a negative thought will come into our head, or even, God forbid, negative speech, or worse, negative actions. And so we are struggling with the animal soul. And for most of us, we don't manage to actually transform that animal soul. You see, for some people, they transform the soul, the animal soul, in such a way that it's never going to be a problem again. And it could even be turned into a tremendous force for good. And negativity doesn't exist in that person's life.
But they wouldn't know that until right at the end, would they? Because at any time it could come in.
Well, that's a very interesting point. You see, it says in Tanya, it says even if you're a tzaddik who has actually transformed your animal soul, or a tzaddiket, a female tzaddik, you should consider yourself a beinoni, an intermediary person who hasn't transformed their soul, but there are times in the life of a beinoni that he or she is inspired. And when you're inspired, your animal soul doesn't act in a negative way. So let's say an inspired time of prayer, or some sort of inspiring situation. Going to visit the West Wall in Jerusalem, going to the Ohel of the Rebbe in New York. These are inspiring moments, and at that time the negative chatter which is in one's mind doesn't work. It's inactive, hopefully, or very often. And so it says in Tanya, even if you're a tzaddik, you should consider yourself a beinoni who is inspired all the time. So you're quite right. So you never actually know. And most of us, not only are we not a tzaddik, we're not halavai beinoni. That's right. Yeah, we're not even a beinoni, and we do occasionally, whether it's once a week or once a day or more often, we have to grapple with something or other negative inside ourselves. And so what is how do we look at ourselves? And the ultimate answer to that question is that's exactly what God wants from us. God wants us to struggle. And the fact that we do struggle and we make that effort and we do something positive in our lives, that is something positive and beautiful and spiritual, and is achieving something very important. There's some people that God wants to be very holy and on a different level, and their struggle is not with themselves but with other people, to elevate those around them and the world. And there are others who wake up in the morning with tremendous negative feelings of one kind or another and have to struggle with that all the way through the day. So, or maybe they get, you know, little respites when things are going well.
It's like I said, I think a little while ago, Dr. Lanto, if everything's handed on a plate in life, you're not achieving anything, because it's that anybody can have that. It's the fact that you struggle sometimes and you do achieve. I know myself. But at the end of it, the end result, I'm very, very happy. I'm very pleased. Yes, I've done that. I've achieved it. I've got it.
Mm.
I've had to struggle, but I've got more pleasure actually sometimes from struggling and doing it. But at the end of it, I've made it.
Mm.
Whereas if it's just handed to you on a plate, I mean, anyway, it's nothing there. It's like empty. There's nothing there. You haven't done anything.
Well, Susan, what you say is exactly backed by sections in Tanya and comments by the Rebbe. You're absolutely right.
Yeah.
Okay, so we are looking at this page, and we're about a third of the way down. The beginning of the line is the word vahu. To quote, in English it's to quote, vahu bahaktim. So if you got that, that's the first word of the line, vahu, vahu bahaktim.
Mm-hmm.
Now, and in the English, to quote, you got that? It's got a little triangle next to it. It's further down in the first column. A little bit further down there.
Oh, yes. Yeah, yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
Now, what he's going to explain basically is that the good deeds that we do, in practical fact, they cause a kind of a radiance around us, a very beautiful radiance of the divine presence. And our role in life is to achieve this radiance. And sometimes there are all kinds of struggles associated with it, but this is our task in life, and that's how it is. There is a struggle, and that struggle is what life's all about, as Susan just said. There's actually a phrase that the Rebbe very often used for the idea of getting something spiritual without a struggle.
Bread of shame.
That's right. Bread of shame. Nama dichsufa in Aramaic. Bread of shame. It's as if you haven't earned your bread and it's just being given to you, and it's like shameful because you haven't made any effort to get it. And that's like achieving something, having something spiritual, but just handed to you on a plate, as Susan puts. Right. Vahu v'haktim l'shoin hayinuka. So we're going to understand this by using the teaching of the yinuka. The yinuka means a child, and the point is that in the Zohar there is a yinuka, there's a very spiritual child who is met by the sages. The Zohar describes the conversations and sometimes journeys of a group of sages, chief among them Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai, and they meet various people, and everyone is always talking Torah teachings, and they meet this child, and the child is telling them Torah teachings, and that's so there it is, Zohar Pashas Bolok, in the Zohar, the section on Bolok, Al Posuk, and he's commenting on the verse, Hachochom Einov Beroshoi, the wise man, his eyes are in his head. Now that's what it says in Ecclesiastes, in Koheles, the wise man, his eyes are in his head. And then he asks, "V'chi ba'an asa einoi de'banosh?" Where else? Where do you think the eyes of a person are? Of course, they're in his head. What does it mean? His eyes are in his head. Elo kro hochi huvadai. But in fact, this is what the verse is saying. D'tnan, as we've learned, lo yahach banosh. A person shouldn't go begiluy dereisha with a bare head, arba amos, for 4 cubits. Now, this is basically referring to a man who's supposed to wear a head covering, and it's interesting that a married woman also covers her hair, and this might be part of the concept as well. Shetel, yeah, that's right. My timer, what is the reason? the Shechinta Sharia al Reshe, because the Shechina, the divine presence, dwells over the head of a person. V'chol chacham, and every wise person, einoy umiloy, his eyes or her eyes and words, like their focus of their attention, is bereshe inu. It's focused on their heads. In other words, their eyes are on their head. What does it mean on their head? Bahu d'shariya v'kaima al reshe. They're focused on the divine presence, which is at one's head, over one's head. So, in other words, we each have the divine presence as a kind of aura around us, at our head. V'chad einoy tamon, and when our eyes are there, in other words, when we are focused on this, linda, we should know that this radiance, the advikal reshe, which is burning, which is shining around our head, it's tzarich lemishcha. It needs oil. Begin the gufa de banosh, because the body of a person and the whole character of a person, iyu psila, is a wick, like a wick in an oil lamp. You have the vessel of the oil lamp, which is holding oil, then you have the wick sticking into it, and then you have the wick, a light at the top. Unahoira adlik, and the flame is burning la'ela, above, on the top of the wick, like above the head. Ushloma Malkut Savach V'Oma, and King Solomon in the book of Kehelis is saying, V'shemen al roishcha al yechza. You must have oil for your head. Don't decrease oil, don't lack oil for your head. Now, why does one need oil for the wick? I mean, obviously, in the metaphor of a lamp, we understand why you need oil to keep. That's right. Otherwise, the flame won't be there. So, what does that mean in the case of the person? The ha nohora de beroshoi, because the flame, the shining radiance at one's head, it's derich lemishra. It needs oil. And that oil means ve'inen uvdan tavon. Those are the good deeds that a person does. A good deed that a person does functions as oil for the wick of their own person and enables the flame of the divine presence to dwell around one's head.
You mean like a mitzvah?
Yes.
Oh, a mitzvah.
A mitzvah. A mitzvah. It could be a doing a mitzvah in practical action, or a mitzvah of speech where one is saying something, like here we're studying Torah together, or it might be praying, it might be davening, or it might even be a good thought. But certainly the fact of the person doing something which is a mitzvah, which is a good deed, that causes the radiance of the divine to dwell around one's head. Valdor, and that's why it said in that other verse we quoted, Hachochom Einav Baroshay, that the wise person is focused on his head, because he knows that the good deed which comes his way or her way, doing that good deed is going to help that divine presence be there. And if, God forbid, there is some sort of opportunity and we miss that opportunity, or we do the wrong thing, which sometimes happens, then we are in some way decreasing that radiance. So by focusing on the fact of there being this radiance at a person's head, a person is able to conduct themselves in a positive way all the time. So that Adkan Lashonoi, that is what it says in the Zohar, and what we learned there about the effect of positive mitzvahs, of doing good things and of keeping away from doing negative things. Now, v'hine bi'o moshel zeh. Now, the explanation of this metaphor, shehim shil o hashchina, where he compares the radiance of the divine presence, lo haner, to the radiance of a lamp, of an oil lamp, she'enoy meyer v'nechaz bipsila, it doesn't shine. The flame will not cling to the wick, bli shemen, without oil. V'chach, and similarly, Ein hashchina shoira al gufa adam, the divine presence does not dwell on the body of a person, shenimshu lepsilo, which is compared to a wick, eila al yedei maisim toivim dafka, except through good deeds, through mitzvahs. Now, you might think that a person's neshama is itself something very radiant and something very beautiful. And therefore, you might imagine that just through the neshama alone, one is able to make this divine presence dwell around one. Now, the interesting thing is, what he's saying here, is however beautiful and wonderful the neshama, the soul of the person is, in order to make the divine presence dwell around them, they actually have to do something. They have to really, here in the world and in the context of all the struggles that there are in life, they have to do something, or it might be say something, or it might even be thinking something, but it's thinking something when one is challenged in some way, and nonetheless there is positive thinking in that situation. So it could be you're waiting at the bus stop. So what's going to go through your mind? So one can think about some Torah that one learned, or something like that. One can think about positive spiritual ideas, and the fact that one's mind is chewing over that idea, that is causing a positive effect. And even more so if one is actually saying something positive or doing a mitzvah. So v'loydai loy b'nishmoso, it's not enough just the soul within the person, shehi chelek alekai mimal, which indeed is a portion of God, the soul is very spiritual, liyos hi k'shemen l'psilo, that the soul itself could be the oil for the wick. Well, that doesn't work. Mavur u'muvan l'chol maskil, this can be explained and understood to every intelligent person. Ki hinei nishmas ha'adam, because the soul of a person, the neshama, afilu hu tzadik gomo, even if he or she is a perfect tzadik, oivid Hashem, serving God continuously, beyiro, with awe, va'ava betanugim, and infinite love of delight, afal pichein, even so, eino b'teilo b'mitzias legamrei, the soul in itself is not utterly absorbed in godliness, so that the soul, as it were, disappears in God. Libotel b'likalel, to be nullified and to be absorbed, b'or Hashem mamash, right, going over the page, in the actual radiance of God. Liyos la'achodim u'miyuchodim, to be totally unified with Hashem, be'yichud gomu, with total unity. See, that's the goal. This is the fundamental issue in life. We are here as physical people, and as physical people we've got a whole bundle of things which concern us and worry us, and that we think about and that we want. It's like a whole it's like a person with an enormous number of suitcases and a trunk and this and that and the other.
Everything, something different in each particular bag. Or
that's right, yes, exactly.
Exactly, in different things in different bags.
That's right. And so this person has, that's our self. That's the self, all these different bags and packages and things like that. And what we really want, deep down, is to escape from ourselves and bond with Hashem, who is infinite. We want to be able to slip away from all that and just be close to the infinite oneness of Hashem. And the trouble is, even though we may have very spiritual qualities and our soul is indeed deeply spiritual, nonetheless, it's very hard for us to achieve this kind of unity just on the basis of our feelings. See, we could have a feeling of immense love for Hashem, but that doesn't really bond us fully to Hashem. Rak hudova bifnei atzmo, second line here. He's a person, he or she is an independent person, Yorei Hashem, who fears God, v'oyevoin, who loves God, which is very nice. We're now on page 159. Under the English page. You've got it?
Yeah. 160, yeah.
So in other words, if our whole involvement with God is our feeling of love to Hashem, in itself that's not enough. There has to be the action of the mitzvahs. Because the action of the mitzvah is something which really does bond us to Hashem in a remarkable way. Masha'en kein ha-mitzvahs. Whereas a practical mitzvah, a good deed, shehein ritzoino yisborach, which are Hashem's will, to do that good deed, let's say to give charity to someone, v'ritzoino yisborach, and Hashem's will, hu makor hachayim l'chol ha'olamos, is the source of life for all the world, v'habruim, and all created things in the world, sheyored aleihem, and this life force flows to every single thing in the world, al yedei tzimtzumim rabim, through many concealments, v'hesteponim, and a hiding of the face, shel rotzon ha'elyon baruch hu, of the upper will of Hashem, blessed be He, v'yeridas ha'madregas, and going down step by step, ad sheyuchlu lehisabas, till they're able to come into being, or lehiboras, and to be created, yesh me'ayin, something from nothing, v'dova nifrad bifnei atzmoi, something which is separate for itself. In other words, something here in the physical world. So you've got the infinite oneness of God, and then the life force from Hashem flows down step by step, being very, very heavily concealed, so that He's able to create something, including us, here in the physical world, v'lo yibatlu b'metzius, which doesn't disappear out of existence, because we think that we are something independent, as an independent person, k'nizkar l'el, as we said above. So, in other words, the energy with which Hashem creates us and everything around us is so concealed that we are able to feel that we are an independent person separate from Hashem. Now, it's very hard for us to go beyond that sense of separateness. And sometimes a very spiritual person might try to find that through love of God. And sometimes that might work, it might be very intense. But more generally, it's a person who is feeling and who is longing for godliness, with a sense of love of God. So if it's only on that level of love, or awe it might be, of God, it is something very spiritual, it's something very beautiful. But it doesn't have that absolute bonding, that absolute unity. Masha'en kein ha-mitzvahs. But when you come to actual mitzvahs, helping another person, giving tzedakah, learning Torah, davening, keeping Shabbos, shehein, lighting candles for Shabbos, shehein pnimius ritzoino yisbaruch, the mitzvahs are the inner will of Hashem. Now remember what we said about the existence of the world. The world is there because Hashem is concealed. That's how there's able to be a world which looks separate from God. But when you're doing something which is part of Hashem's will, we're expressing love of one's fellow, we're giving tzedakah, we're doing something, we're keeping Shabbos, we're lighting a Shabbos candle, we're doing something positive, we're davening to Hashem. At that moment, we are relating to the inner will of Hashem, and at the point of the inner will of Hashem, ve'ein shom hester ponim klal. There is no concealment of Hashem's face there. There is the revealed radiance of Hashem, except that it's hidden within the practical situation where we're doing a mitzvah in that practical situation. One's giving charity. Someone is collecting for something and you find 50 pence in your pocket and you give it to them. At that moment, there is, or 30 pence. At that moment, a connection is being made with Hashem. Ein hachayish shebehem, the life force in this action is not dover nifrad bifmei atzmai, something separate in itself, klal at all. Elohu meyuchad, it's unified.
Can I say something?
Yeah, hold on one second, let me just get the full stop. It's unified v'nichlal and absorbed b'ritzoino yisbarach, in Hashem's will, and v'hoyu la'achodim mamash, the person and Hashem become bonded together b'yichud gamu, with a total unity through doing the mitzvah. And I'll just finish off before you make your point, Susan. One of the things that enables us to do this is the fact that we're not conscious of it. Because if we were conscious of it, it would be too intense for us to be able to take. So it's very simple. You put the 50 pence, the 30 pence in a charity box or something like that. You light a Shabbos candle. It's a beautiful action, but it doesn't, you know, you're not, you know, you don't fall on the ground in ecstasy. You're doing something which you know is a positive thing. But in fact, the spiritual energy which is being revealed at that moment is absolutely incredible. Okay,
no, I'm just going to say that, because when you do these things, you automatically think that, oh yes, God would like us to do these things. It's not a big, I mean, it's not rocket science, it's not something that, but as you say, to give money, to do my candles, to help somebody else out, or to even to go someone short, make them a cake, make them whatever, you think to yourself, God would like that, that's something that I can do that. It doesn't have to be something great. It's just a small thing, but yes, God probably would like that, to see me do that. That's all I was going to say.
That's very beautiful. That's true. So that is, you see, that's the step of this radiance around us, and in fact what we're achieving is bringing a radiance into the world, into the physical world, and that's really our goal. The ultimate goal is to bring this divine radiance into the world so that the whole world is filled with this radiance, which will then be the coming of Mashiach. There will be a world filled with the radiance of the presence of God, and the temple will be built, and in the Holy of Holies will be the expression of the divine presence, and indeed in our hearts as well, and the whole world will be filled with knowledge of God. So the fact that a person is doing a positive action, they're making a cake for someone, like you said, this, it seems like a very simple activity, but in fact, it's achieving something tremendous.
I say that because my next door neighbour said to me, she said, sure, I'm going to make a cake for you. She said this, it does. My direct neighbour, she's lovely. She says, I'm going to make you a nice cake this week. Just like she does. She just comes and says, I'm going to make you a cake.
Well, that's
like
very lovely. Okay, yeah. Beautiful.
Simple, but...
Okay, so
thank you for that.
With the help of that, we'll go on next.
Thank you.